Hey guys, welcome to the Challenge Podcast. I'm Coach Steve.
And I'm Coach Nick, and we're going to be talking about everything fitness, health, and the challenge.
Let's get on with the show. What's up guys, Coach Steve here. Welcome back to another episode of the Challenge Podcast. In today's episode, I'm joined with one of Maxine's top 10 finalists, Georgina Brito. Georgina, welcome to the Challenge Podcast.
Thank you, Steve.
I'm excited to spend a little bit of time with you talking about your experiences with the January Challenge or the challenge in general. But, you know, Georgina, just a few days ago, you found out that you were part of the Maxine's top 10 for the January Challenge. What has the past couple of days been like for you?
Well, it's been so exciting. I've done 4 challenges in the past, so this is my 4th challenge. And I just feel like I've improved in each challenge. And so this was a bit of a pinnacle for me. And a real highlight. So my family, myself, we've all been very, very excited. And because, you know, a lot of hard work and dedication has gone into it.
Yeah, look, you should be so proud of not only this January challenge, but, you know, your challenge career, right? And you and I have had conversations in the past, you know, of previous challenges. And, you know, we've sat there watching you grow. And I was excited when I got you the list of names of the top 10. I was like, Georgina's finally made it in the top 10. So look, big congratulations to you. You're definitely deserving of it. And, you know, being one of our most active people in our Facebook group, you know, that goes beyond that, where it's not, you know, just about you making the top 10, but you always putting yourself out there to help other people, which is amazing to see. It makes my job easier. So that, for that, I genuinely thank you. So thank you for being awesome.
Pleasure. Thank you.
But look, Georgina, I know who you are and what you do, but look, there's probably a few people listening to this who don't know who you are. So would you like to give us a little bit of an introduction, maybe where you're from, what you do for work, and who is Georgina Brito?
Sure. I'm from Sydney. I am married to Carlos, who's done the challenge many, many, many years ago and also made top 10. So that was pretty awesome. I wanted a matching medal, by the way. I have 2 boys, Daniel and Will. Dan's 23 and Will's 20. And I'm going to be 50 this year. So this is a big year for me for a lot of goals. And this is reaching one of my goals. And I'm a director of a childcare centre and the head teacher, and I predominantly work with special needs children. So that's me.
Wow, 50 years young, Georgina.
That's it.
So look, you've mentioned this already. You've done quite a few challenges with us, 4, is that right?
Yep.
When was the first one?
Well, I actually did one, you know, about 10 years ago with my husband. That was the first one we did together, but mm-hmm. I was sort of like, doing baby weights, 2 kilos, never done resistance training in my life. So it was a little bit of an introduction for me. And then I reignited with you guys in September 2019. Mm-hmm. I became quite unwell and was battling some health issues. And I thought, I'm going to go back to what I know. And I know that Maxine's works for me. Mm-hmm. So that's when I started my journey again.
So it was 2019, you rekindled the flame, and then you've built yourself up over the past 2 years or so to finally taking out the top 10.
100%.
So let's talk a little bit about why you chose to start the challenge. And you kind of alluded to it already. You know, you suggested that the Maxine's challenge works for you. But, you know, talking about maybe that 2019 period, like what were the steps that you took to, you know, sign up and join the challenge? You kind of mentioned a few health complications and stuff, but like, you know, what steps did you take to be like, yeah, I am going to do this. Like, let's give this a good crack. Can you talk about why you joined the challenge?
Well, I reached a point, and it's been a few times throughout the last 2 years because I've been on pretty intense medications and been in and out of hospital and lots of doctors. And so it's been a real battle. And I was in a stage where I just did not like myself. I didn't like my body. I was in a bad mindset. I lacked a lot of confidence within myself. And I just knew that I needed to make a big change. And I lead a reasonably healthy life. So I knew that I needed something that kept me on track, that was routine, that I didn't have to think too much about. Mm-hmm. And the Maxine's program provides that for me. So mm-hmm. the nutrition programs, the training, it's all outlined there for me, and the videos and the support that you get from everybody and the coaches. You just have to ask a question and someone's helping you. Those are the things I needed to get back on track because I just felt like I couldn't do it by myself. So it was a really hard step for me to take that, but I just took the plunge. I thought it's now or never. I'm 48 years old and I don't want to go down this track of being unhealthy and getting harder and harder each year. So that's what got me going.
Yeah. And would it be true that you continued with your challenge experience and you built on each time, right? So like that first challenge you did, maybe you weren't going as hard. Maybe you were still using the baby weights, or maybe you weren't as compliant as you wanted to be with the meal plan. And did you build up over time? Is that why you continue to join the challenge?
100%, 100%. I am very compliant. When I put my mind to something, I do not cheat. So The nutrition wasn't an issue for me. And my husband also lives that sort of lifestyle. He loves resistance training. He's built us a home gym and we food prep together. We eat similar foods. My boys are both very healthy and athletic, so they're similar too. So that sort of part wasn't that difficult for me. It was more the training and learning about the training. Mm-hmm. Obviously, my body was not in good condition, because I wasn't well and I'd gained a decent amount of weight. And I was finding it very, very hard to budge any weight because with my hormonal issues, I have an estrogen dominance problem. And to lose weight or gain muscle was just almost impossible. I think we'd had lots of conversations, me and you, and I'm very thankful for all your advice. And that sort of was why I had to start slowly and build on that. And each challenge after that, I found that I learned something new. I became a little bit stronger. I started to understand the exercises and what was working. I just felt much more confident within myself to try the new exercises. So each challenge brought me a new experience, a new confidence, a new ability. So I could see the progress and that kept me going.
Yeah, I love that. And I think we do sometimes get caught up in that idea that I need to achieve this in 12 weeks or I'm a failure. And maybe the challenge, the way it's designed, kind of spreads that message where we see before and after photos, oh, this person achieved this in 12 weeks. So then the next person that signs up to the challenge goes, oh, well, I need to achieve that in 12 weeks or I'm a failure, which is not the right message. And maybe we don't do that a good service within the challenge because we forget that someone like yourself, it took 4 challenges, almost actually 10 years, because the first challenge you did 10 years ago, it's taken you years to learn the skills that you know now. And even now you probably put your hand up just like I would and say, I'm still learning now. And I think that approach of being that little bit humble and going, oh, well, it is a learning experience and I'm going to get better over time. And I love what you've kind of outlined already, where the big learning experience you've had is maybe through the training side of things, because I think that we can all get better at our approach to training, right? Where I think most people firstly go, oh, well, it's all the nutrition. And we go, well, okay, that's one part of it. But the training side of things, that's hard. To learn how to build muscle is hard. And especially in your case, where you've got medical conditions, which makes it difficult to build muscle. We know how important building muscle is to increase our metabolism, increase our energy expenditure, increase our ability to lose body fat. Because we don't really love body fat, but we like muscle, right? So building muscle is a skill and it's hard. It really is difficult. Like, not only do we need to learn the movement, we need to learn some anatomy, a little bit of biomechanics, we need to have a little bit of confidence to lift that heavy weight and then actually put in the effort, because lifting heavy weights is hard. Like, there's no ways around that, right? So look, talking about training, could you give us a little bit of a narrative about your experience with training? And I'll go back to that saying you said earlier, using the baby weights with quotation marks. What was it like transitioning into some really solid resistance training, transitioning into that Get Strong program, which I think you did, and then focusing on building muscle? Like, what was that, you know, voice in your head like as you transitioned into that style of training?
I think the voice in the head is the hardest thing. For me, it is a lot of fear factor. So, and I think with a lot of people who haven't trained in this way, you're doubting yourself before you even try. And the thing is for me is that I'm nervous to hurt myself, to injure myself. I'm nervous that I'm going to do it wrong. I feel doubtful because I'm lifting smaller weights than maybe the next person. So I had to sort of lose all of that and think, okay, I'm starting from a different point from different people. And there's nothing wrong with the fact that I'm learning this. So I would start the exercises that were in your program for Get Strong in a lighter weight and slowly see what my body was able to do, what I could manage. And I actually surprised myself, because self-doubt can really stop you from improving too. And comparisons to other people can also stop you from trying things sometimes too. So once I put my mind to the fact that I wasn't going to be lifting 100 kilos for my squats or whatever, it was okay to start at 40, then build to 50 and then go to 60. And each week I saw that improvement, and that motivated me to keep on going. Also, I learned a lot about technique. So I'd watch your videos. I am very, very fortunate that my husband really has, he trains a lot with resistance training, and he would work out with me. We'd get your programs and he would go through the training schedule with me, and he would correct my technique, sometimes a little bit, need to kick me up the butt sometimes, but sometimes in a gentle manner, you know. Yeah. But he was always there to support me and show me the right way as well. And with you and him, I slowly built up confidence to give it a go and improve my skills. So I will say that I'm still not lifting super, super crazy heavy weights, but I can see improvement in myself and growth. And that's what keeps you going, right? Because it doesn't matter what the next person lifts. It's about what you can do for yourself.
Yeah, I can relate to that maybe from a different perspective, where I have friends and people very like within my circles that are much stronger than I am, right? So for me, I'm like the weak guy in my friendship group. And here I am deadlifting twice my body weight for reps, and I'm the weak guy, right? And I think it's difficult when you go and compare yourself to others, because it's in human nature to do that, being like, oh, you know, I'm lifting 40 kilos, but that lady's lifting 60 kilos. Oh, I'm weaker than that person. But again, you don't know their story. And then to that person, they're probably looking at the other person who's squatting 100 kilos, being like, oh, I'm not as strong as that person. And then they're looking at Hafþór Bjørnsson, who's like the world record deadlift holder, and being like, oh, well, I can't deadlift 501 kilos. You know, we do get caught in those traps. And I think in good programming structure or long-term structure, like our weight that we use is somewhat irrelevant, right? It's cyclical, where so there's times where you might go a little bit heavier and you might choose to do lower reps because you're heavier. And then there's other times where you go a little bit lighter and, I don't know, slow the movement down or do a few more reps. And ultimately, we're challenging our body in a different way, and we're getting ourselves close to failure. We're stimulating muscle growth. We're challenging our balance, proprioception, feeling of the muscle, all these good things. And if you follow me on Instagram, for example, you look at some of the weight I'm lifting and you might go, oh, well, you posted a video a month ago where you were lifting twice as much as that. I'm like, yeah, there's a reason to that. So going light isn't necessarily a bad thing. It's just different. It's just another tool in our tool belt. And once you understand that, you go, well, yeah, I'm okay with squatting 40 kilos because my quads are about to explode. So I know that they're growing, right? I don't need to be looking at the guy that's squatting 200 kilos being like, oh, I'm a failure because that guy's squatting 200 kilos, right? But look, I digress. But I love that you have embraced resistance training, embraced building muscle, and have gone through that process of learning, where maybe you have failed a couple of times, but you've gotten back on and you've learned, right? So look, Georgina, I'd like to talk a little bit about challenges, right? So I'm sure you faced your own challenges while completing the challenge. It hasn't been sunshine and rainbows. So could you speak about some of the challenges that maybe you might have faced within your challenge career, or maybe in the January challenge that's just passed?
Yeah, again, I go back to my health, and I also know from talking to other people doing challenges, because I do like to be a part of the community. So I hear about other people's challenges. It might be the fact of that they're carrying a lot of weight, or they've got an injury, or for me, it was my health. There were some days I started a new medication in the January and gained 10 kilos in 4 weeks. Mm-hmm. And so I was pretty devastated. I'd just done 3 challenges, smashed those challenges out of the park, made top 50 for all 3 challenges. And I was feeling pretty good about myself to do this 4th challenge. Mm-hmm. And I went on new medication and gained 10 kilos in the month of January. So hence I started this challenge on a really bad footing. I was pretty depressed, pretty down. And I just felt like all the work I'd done previously had gone down the drain. But it was so hard to get started in this January challenge and just know that I could do it because I felt so unwell. My bones ached, my joints ached. There were some days I just couldn't even get out of bed. I thought, can I do it? It was actually the first time I questioned the fact that, could I do this? And I had a chat with my husband and I said to him, I don't know. And he goes, this is what you know. Maxine's is what you know. Stop overthinking it. Just take each week as it comes. Just set small goals. Don't overthink it. Don't think about what you want to reach at the end of the 12 weeks because you're starting this at a different point. You're unwell. This is about just getting back to health. So my actual mindset of getting in that gym when I was in agony and in pain and feeling sick, that was probably my biggest challenge. And pushing through those training sessions when Steve went, some days I was going to throw up. I had to really switch on my mind. I had to really push myself to probably something that I've never done before and find some resilience in myself. So this challenge was for me finding resilience. It wasn't about anything else. It was about finding that strength of character to overcome something that was really beating me up, whole body, mind, everything, confidence, everything. So that was probably my hardest challenge of the January challenge. But also because I'd worked so hard and gotten to a point, I had in my mind that this January challenge was going to be the one, that I was going to become like those tenors that had rippling muscles and lean six pack. And then when I got unwell, I was like, oh my gosh, that's gone down the drain. So I was really nervous about what I was going to accomplish at the end. And I also had to start thinking, I can't compare myself to everybody else. Stop worrying about everyone that's losing so much weight in the challenge. Stop worrying about, you know, people who are, their six packs are popping and their quads are popping and their shoulders are popping. I was so proud of them and I cheered them on, and you know that I cheered them on, but I was actually going through a dilemma within myself because that was not happening for me. So it was such a slow process, these 12 weeks. And I think patience, resilience were my things that I had to accomplish. So yeah, they were my challenges, patience and resilience. Yeah.
I think it's interesting when we take a step back from the challenge, so we look at what the challenge is, just a nutrition plan and a training plan and a few other little bits and pieces. But often when we go through this physical life-changing routine challenge thing that is the challenge, we end up looking at all these life skills such as resilience, patience, right? Discipline, all these things that we become a better person once we learn them. And sometimes we learn those things when we are squatting a heavy load. We learn those things when we are being disciplined with our meal plan. We learn those things when we turn off the TV to go to bed so that we can work out early in the morning. It's something that about the challenge, something about fitness that changes us as a person so that we kind of like learn all these life skills. And sometimes that translates over into our business life. Sometimes that translates over into our family life. And sometimes that translates over to our view in life and where people become less stressed because it's like, oh, well, I can squat heavy now. I'm confident. I don't need to stress about what's happening on the other side of the world or whatever it is, right? But patience, resilience, and we learn that with a barbell, right?
Yep.
Georgina, I'd like to talk a little bit about change. So throughout your challenge career, could you talk a little bit about how your life has changed?
I feel that I've changed within my whole self, not just physically. So yeah, I'm feeling pretty confident within myself now. You know, I like the way I look for the first time in a very, very long time. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing to like the way you look. You wake up and you get dressed with confidence. You feel so much more confident to tackle new things in life. You're not feeling all this self-doubt. I feel like the challenge has taught me that I can achieve anything I want to achieve if I put my mind to it. If I really want something and I do the hard work and I'm dedicated and committed, why can't I achieve that? Why not? So it is actually factored into every part of my life. With my friendships, with my social skills, with my work, tackling difficult problems at work. I'm quite a chill sort of person, easygoing sort of person, but I could also take the back seat a lot. I don't put myself out there because that's just me. I don't need to have a lot of attention and people look at me or, you know, whatever. But nowadays I think, you know what, I have something to say or I can do that or I can help that person with that. Back in the day, maybe I wouldn't have said, hey, let me help you, or I would not put my hand up for something. So nowadays I'm thinking, oh, I can do it. You know, I can do it. I find that I've found this inner belief, this inner confidence, and it's made me a stronger, happier person who takes on more challenges in life. I think also it's really helped me with the relationships. I think being involved in this community, getting to know so many different people, the challenges that other people have in life, it puts everything into perspective a little bit. Sometimes you can live your own life and it's small and you have your own problems and whatever. But when you start talking to other people, when you start, you know, listening to their stories, there are such amazing stories out there. And I've just grown getting to know a lot of these people. It's been phenomenal. I've made such great challenge buddies. People contact me and tell me that I inspire them, which is so funny to me, but it's pretty cool. And even my husband said to me the other day, and my boys who are 23 and 20, which is pretty phenomenal for me because they're my sons, that I inspire them, that my strength of character to do what I have done while I've been so unwell and that I haven't given up has inspired them to know that they can do it too. So that's pretty awesome to me. So yeah, the challenge has completely changed who I am and how I think about myself.
You know, you should be so proud of that. And I'll admit, heck, you've even inspired me sometimes when I see you posting on Facebook way more than I do and inspiring so many other people and the effort that you put into and just keep consistently giving back to our community. That is inspiring for me. So if anything, thank you. Thank you for being you.
Thank you.
And Georgina, you know that you're consistently within our top two most active members in our Facebook group. I think you and Maria Kasheri are going back to back as who can post and comment and like the most. But I think that says more about you as in wanting to give back to people. And I think once we transition from, okay, I'm trying to get a six pack for me and I'm trying to help other people. Sure, like you're trying to do yourself well, but once you move into that next step where you want to give back to people, consistently giving back to people, I think that's amazing to see. And then posting so often as you do, you don't know how many people you've inspired, right? You see the people that reach out to you, that's a very small percentage of people, Georgina. You know, there's thousands of people in our Facebook group, there's thousands of people in our forums, on our Instagrams, and everything in between, and you don't know how many people you have affected. And for that, I mean, you should be so proud, right? All those hard sessions that you put into, you've gone out and helped so many other people that you don't even know. You don't know their names, you don't know what they do, but they know you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I must say, posting hundreds of times, maybe not posting, but commenting on people's posts and liking people's posts, how do you find the time to interact and engage with so many people online?
Well, I feel that I really immerse myself in challenge life. It becomes who I am. It becomes what I do. And I actually, my downtime is reading about other people's stuff. So in the evening, come home from work, dinner's done, we relax. And my husband's often watching some sort of sport on TV. So I'll just get on, read a few things and take the time to actually see what people are up to. And just things catch my eye because sometimes I can relate to those feelings or what people put. I've been there. I know how it feels. I know what that tough day feels like. I know how it feels when you look in the mirror and you can't stand what you're looking at. I know that a disappointment when you're working your butt off and your biceps are not popping and everybody else's is. I know those days where you just want to eat chocolate and you know you can't and you're obsessing about it. I know all those challenges, but I also know about the self-doubt. I know about all those, the lack of confidence. I've been there. So when I read those posts, I want to reach out to that person and say, hey, it's okay. There's other people who feel that way. You're not the only one. And you can do this. You can pick yourself up and know that you're supported, you're cared for, and that we understand you. We're all in the same boat. So have your cry or have your, you know, bad day. If you've cheated and had that chocolate, it's not the end of the world. Just get on with it the next day. So I think sometimes when someone's done that for me in the past, and I can name quite a few people in all my challenges that have picked me up when I've had that bad day. And I'll never forget that, because that's actually been turning points for me in my challenge to say, okay, I'm only human. Other people are feeling that. I've got to move on. Why give up because I had one slip up? Or why give up because I'm feeling exhausted and my body's aching? I can do this. So I'm so appreciative of those people who helped me. I'm so appreciative that I'm very, very lucky to have a supportive husband and boys and children in my corner. And maybe not everybody has that. So wear that for them sometimes. Sometimes I don't have a supportive partner who understands health and fitness and wants to support them. Sometimes they're all alone in their journey. So we're their family for the 12 weeks. So why not help them? So yeah, I do take the time in my downtime in the evenings or whatever to do that, because it actually gives me a lot, as well as I hope it gives others too.
Yeah, I think you touched on a really important idea that we all are humans, right? And sometimes online we might come across as, I don't know, superhumans, or like we know it all or whatever it is, or we're doing everything perfectly. But you could agree to this, I can agree to this. Like, we're just humans too. I make mistakes all the time. I'm not compliant with my diet at times. I can't be bothered working out at times. And sometimes I just want to sit down and have a glass of scotch and just do nothing, right? Like, I'm human too, and you're human, and we're all human. And if you are feeling that, oh, like today's not my day, it's okay. You're allowed to have those days and have those feelings. It's about what you do next that matters, right? If you are having that really crappy day and you just want to eat chocolate, like, all right, you end up eating chocolate. Okay. Like, first question I ask, and I've said this to many challenges, like, did you enjoy the chocolate? Did you like it? And I think we face problems when we go, no, I don't remember eating it. Okay, that's one problem. Yeah. But then the other side of it is like, well, yeah, it's like, congratulations, you got to eat chocolate. Like, all right, what are you going to do next? You know? So I do think that we are all human. And even though it comes across that some people might have superhuman strength or superhuman discipline or superhuman whatever, I think to be superhuman is just to be human, right? Just to accept that we are all the same. We are all similar. We are all on this journey together. And if we can all help each other and lift each other up, like, then, you know, we do become this superhuman level where we go, hey, like, we're all in this together. And I think that's the main point I want to take away from this, is that sometimes on social medias and online, we only post our good light, but we kind of forget about all those really crappy times, right?
You know, Steve, if you read, like, with most of my posts, that I always talk about a challenge that I have within the week. Mm-hmm. So I will talk about this week, work was crazy, my body was aching, I was nauseated from my tablets, but how did I overcome that? I always put that human factor with what I've achieved in the week. So I always let people know the honest truth of that I struggled that week or I struggled that day, but this is what I did to overcome it. And I think that for me, it's great to highlight all the positives that you achieve, and we all celebrate each other's achievements, and I think that's phenomenal. But it's also really important to be honest and say, I had a bad day, and or this is how I'm feeling today. I'm feeling really crap. You know, I'm working really hard and I've got a bloat on, or I've not lost a kilo on the scales, or, you know, whatever. But does that matter? What I'm going to look at is what I can accomplish tomorrow and what I can do about it, and stop looking at the scales. That's just a small example. But for me, it's all about being honest with my journey. Whatever I post, it's about being honest so other people can understand that it's a roller coaster of a ride. 12 weeks and beyond, because this is for me a journey of my health and my life. So I don't just take it as a challenge. I take it as the fact that this is my lifestyle now. And so not every day is going to be PBs and woohoo, I'm awesome. But there are going to be a lot of down days and days where you didn't reach the goal that you wanted, or that you felt disappointed with yourself, or you felt flat. There's a lot of days like that. So I really think that the challenge life and life in general is a roller coaster, and that we've got to be honest about it, but also know how to move on from the bad days.
I think that's the most important thing, right? Like, how are you going to move on? And it's the classic Rocky quotes of, you know, no matter how hard they hit you, like, you just got to stand back up, right? And life's
100%.
Life's going to throw some punches and it's going to knock you down. But do you have the courage, the resilience, the patience to stand back up and do it again, right? And show up and be like, all right, I'm here. Like, you couldn't stop me, but I'm here now, all right? Look, Georgina, let's talk a little bit about advice. And I'm sure many people have reached out to you asking for tips and tricks and advice and all those bits and pieces. But if someone was about to start their fitness and health journey or wanted to lose a bit of weight or even about to start the challenge themselves, what advice would you give that person?
First of all, I'd say there's no magic pill. That it's not going to just, you know, you do a few training sessions, you start eating a few healthier meals and the weight's just going to drop off and you're going to start popping muscles. It's just not the way. You know, we got to have an understanding that anything good in life, anything that worth achieving is hard work and takes time and takes persistence. So it's all about the long haul. So that's the first thing I would say, because I know reading through a lot of people's journeys that in the first few weeks, you know, it's not as easy as they think it's going to be. They think that they're going to start dropping kilos by the bucket loads. And when it doesn't happen, they give up. So for me to tell those people is that it's not about what you achieve in the first 4 weeks. You've got to look at the long haul. It's about organization. It's about prepping yourself. For me, I get the programs and I start in prep week and I outline my programs of my nutrition, what's going to work for me. I start cooking that way in prep week to see what works, what's the easiest options. I do shopping lists. My husband and I do prep days for our nutrition. So we have our meals ready to go within the week because we both work full time and work very long hours and have a family. So it is about thinking about your lifestyle. It's about thinking about what you've got in your weekly schedule. And how are you going to meet these requirements of this challenge to work for you? So for me, I start work quite early and I work quite long hours. So to have the food ready to go, I do my oats the night before, meal lunches are prepped, dinners are sorted, that I have to come home and cook it, sure, but everything's chopped up, ready to go. And I train early in the morning. I get up at 4:45 in the morning and I'm in the gym. So I am very lucky that I have a home gym. So it's just in my backyard. So that makes it a little bit easier, but it's still a lot of discipline when, you know, you want to stay in bed early in the morning and it's cold, but that alarm goes off and you just got to get your feet on that floor and get moving. So I know that that works for me. And that's what, you know, it's that organization, it's that prior thinking. It's you know, it's not thinking, oh, I'll just see where I can train throughout the week. No, I know which days I'm going to train because I know I've got meetings on that day or I've got to do something for my son on that day. So I actually have the schedule ready to go each week prior to the week starting. I also look at my training schedule. And again, in prep week, I go through the exercises, you know, because there's obviously lots of new exercises for me that I've never heard of or that I've not done before. So I practice them. I go through the schedules and I might start off in prep week. I start off in really light weights just so I can get the exercises down pat and the technique. So again, I'm lucky to have Carlos and he will help me with that and he will show me how to do certain exercises. And if he doesn't know a particular exercise, I'll look at your videos and I'll practice them till I feel comfortable with them. So when week one comes along, I've got my nutrition sorted, I've got my training sorted, and I'm ready to hit the road running. And, you know, that brings you a lot of confidence to start the challenge because you've ironed out all the little what ifs or how can I do that? Or, you know, I don't know how to do that. So if you've got that all worked out, you start week one with a lot more confidence and ready to go. And there's no excuses then. There's no excuses to say, oh, you know, I didn't know that food prep was going to take so long, or I didn't know that the sessions were going to take this long, or I couldn't do this, you know, exercise, or I didn't have that equipment. You've got to find what works for you. So if you're training from home and you don't have that equipment, what's your alternative? So if you sort all those sorts of things out prior to the challenge starting, you've got no excuses to fail, basically. So that is a really important tip for me. The other tip from me is that travel your own journey. Stop worrying about what everybody else is doing. You learn from other people. I think that I've learned so much from other people, reading everything, getting my hands on all your resources. You learn so much. But what I see a lot of people doing is that they compare themselves and they falter because they think that they're not achieving because other people are achieving different results. We all start at a different starting point with different issues in our life, different lifestyles, different age groups, different experience. Some people have trained all their life. Some people are already slim and are going for that extra muscle and that six pack. Some people are wanting to lose 30 kilos. You know, some of us are a little bit older and not 20 years old or 30 years old anymore, and it doesn't come so easily. So, you know, some have arthritis, some have different health issues. So I just feel that you cannot look at one person or a few people and think, oh my gosh, that's what I want to do. Or, you know, that's what I want to look like. You can be inspired by those people. I'm inspired by those people, but I've learned the hard way through many challenges not to compare myself to those people, because then what I feel like is a failure. So rather than looking at the things that I'm not achieving, I'm looking at all the things that I am achieving. And I think that writing down your goals prior to your challenge, thinking about each, what I do is I do small goals. So I do an end goal, which is my ultimate goal. And then each 4 weeks, I do new goals because they're achievable. So I'm sensible in my 4 week goals because I know it might be, I really want to get to, when I'm squatting, I want to get a great depth, you know? So I slowly practice that within the 4 weeks. And once I've achieved that in the 4 weeks, tick, I've ticked my box. So when you feel that that accomplishment at achieving those small goals, it inspires and motivates you to move on to the next lot of goals. So being realistic and setting small goals that are achievable and not comparing yourself to others and knowing that you are you and you want to feel healthy, strong, fit, whatever it is, you can do it. But you just got to put your mind to it.
Some quality advice, Georgina. Quality advice. Thank you. So thank you for donating some of your time to be part of the Challenge podcast. We'll wrap it up there. I want to thank you for your amazing result. I want to thank you for inspiring our community. I want to thank you for being you, Georgina. And I think you've come a long way. I've seen you grow over these past couple of challenges, and you should be so proud of the result that you've achieved, you know, from inspiring people online to inspiring your boys and heck, even inspiring me. And, you know, I'm sure you've learned lots of things about yourself. You've learned lots of things about fitness and health, and you've been giving lots of people advice and everything in between. So thank you. Big congratulations. And you should be so proud of what you've been able to achieve.
Thank you so much, Steve. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for listening, guys. If you like the show, share it with a friend or leave us a review on iTunes to help us spread the good word.
See you next time.